Welcome to the Motherhood Unshackled podcast. My name is Klaus Carrian, mom and parenting coach. I'm here to guide you to challenge anything that takes away your freedom and makes you less than you could be. I'm here to encourage you to let your problem shift away from the safe problem and instead guide you to face your true self within. Your safe problems are things external of you that keep you distracted from what really matters. Like, my child is the problem. If they didn't have this behavior, things would be great. I wouldn't yell at them, and so on and so forth. As long as you believe that the child is the problem and that they have to be fixed, you are both going to keep suffering. I coach moms to show up mindfully always, especially when their children misbehave. Each week, I bring you a message to guide you on this journey we call parenting. My goal is to guide you to experience a deep, authentic connection with yourself and your child through the beautiful moments and the challenging ones. It's time for heartfelt, joyful, and simple parenting. Thank you for spending some time with me today. Hello and welcome to today's episode. Today we have a special guest with us, Allie. Thank you for joining us, Allie. I'm excited to have this very elevated conversation around being a mother and working or being in business.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. It's such a pleasure to connect in this way, and I'm really, really looking forward to it.
Me too. All right, so before we get started, tell us a little bit about your journey. Like, you know, you're a mom. How many kids do you have? What business do you run?
Yeah. So I am a mom of two young kids. My son is 4 and my daughter is 7. And I am a brand strategist and energetic embodiment coach. So really in my work, I take those two kind of what I would define as energies of the masculine and the feminine and really merge them and bring them in together. So that's where you have that brand strategy, more of that logical, like, how are we going to do this? All of the systems, and then really intertwine it with like, well, who are you? What's your purpose? What's your essence? How does your energy thrive? And like really weave it all in together. And that's what I think is like the absolute sweet spot. But yeah, it's even just you asking me like, oh, tell me a bit about your journey. You know, my business was really birthed the same time as when I had my daughter in 2015. That's when I took my coaching certification. I actually started when I was, I think, like 4 months pregnant. And then in the middle of my certification had my daughter. So my business and my child were really like birthed at the same time. They were such massive catalysts for where I am now.
Yeah. And you don't just have the one daughter, do you? I
thought my daughter, my son. Yeah.
So my daughter. Okay. I was like, I thought you had two children. Okay. That's lovely. And you guys just did a big move across the country. That's exciting.
Yeah. And that was also very like led by desire. I would say that. So my husband is a generator with this sacral authority. So it was really led by his sacral. And then it was like, my spleen was just like, all right, let's go, let's move. It really came from a conversation, like the middle of Ontario winter of like, what happened if we just moved, if we did this? And I was like, well, why not? Why wouldn't we do it? We've created the kind of freedom that we have. Why wouldn't we take advantage of it? And it's just been like, go, go, go. And here we are. And it feels really, really incredible.
Yeah, that's awesome. And I mean, that is one of the beauties of having an online business is that you're able to pick up and go and still, you know, keep going as normal business, no matter where you are located, which is awesome.
Yeah, especially when you can really, so much of my work, and especially being a mom, has been deepening my awareness and my understanding of my energy and how I can approach motherhood and how I can approach business and creating something where I can have that freedom. I'm not just falling in and out of burnout cycles, which was totally my pattern before. So yeah, really getting to a place where I could thrive energetically so I could actually make a move like that and trust myself in that way.
Yeah, I agree. So we're both projectors, you and I. And yeah, as projectors, that was my cycle as well. Just like constant burnout until I explored the world of human design and then tapped into other energy healing modalities. And it's really made a massive difference in my life. So while we're talking about human design, you said your husband was a generator, you're a projector. What about your kiddos? Like, how has understanding and knowing their human design, how has that impacted the way you're able to parent them?
Like, and I know that you can relate to this in the way that it's impacted every way that I can parent them and show up for them and nurture them. So my daughter is a manifester. And that in itself has just been, it's made decision-making incredibly easy and removed any area of doubt. So for example, she was in a situation in school and it was just like, I could see her spirit getting crushed. And in my mind, I'm just like, oh my gosh, the manifestor conditioning where it's just like, you're too much. Get smaller. I'm going to put you in this box. Don't be any bigger than you are. And I was like, I can't let this happen. I know too much about her and I know her design so intricately that it made that decision to switch schools really easy. And then my son is a generator. So they're such opposites. And so just like my husband and I, that projector and generator, such opposites in so many ways. So I can really approach how I'm addressing their individuality, that's like, it's catered to them. And it's not like, you know, it's not like favoring one over the other. It's not like that. It's just their approach and how they want to be spoken to or problem solving or how they get clarity, how they need to move energy is so different. So understanding them on that deep level, just, it makes it easier. It's just like how everyone's like, oh, I wish that I could have a guidebook when it comes to parenting, or you don't have a guidebook when you're a parent. It's like with human design, you do in a way.
Yeah, I say that all the time. And I mean, before the call, we were just talking about like even something as simple as extracurricular activity, you know, in the society that we live in, it's like so important to put our kids in extracurricular activity, because if we don't, they're not going to thrive. They're not going to succeed in life. While I personally do not agree with that. And I think it's important as like intentional, conscious parents to question, okay, is this true? Is it true that they won't succeed in life unless they do extracurricular activity? And that's the same thing for absolutely everything that we have to make a decision upon when we're parents. And to me, I don't think it's true, right? And but then right there, it's like, okay, well, your son is a generator. He might actually really benefit from burning that energy and doing more, and he can energetically hold being in more extracurricular activities, for example, versus your daughter, who's a manifester, might actually really benefit from not. So it's not about favoring one child over the other. It's not about parenting them a completely different way. And in an unfair way, but you're doing what's fair for them by understanding their energy, by understanding who they are, and then giving them exactly what they need. So yeah, it's beautiful.
Yeah, exactly. It really allows you, I mean, human design and always, and not just parenting, but even in yourself, you can really see where you're energy centers are undefined or defined, and you can identify like, wait, what is conditioning from what I was told that I should do and what's actually correct and in alignment for me? Am I acting from a place that's maybe low frequency, or I'm trying to just, you know, adhere to somebody else's expectations or standards or whatever? And it really brings you back into your own truth.
100% it does. It's quite a eye-opening journey once you start, like, for yourself. And that's what I recommend to parents is like, first do you, like, don't just jump into your kids, like, understand it yourself. It's like the oldest saying, like, practice what you preach, right? Like, don't just try to understand your kid, like, also understand yourself, and then you'll be able to see the difference it makes. And yeah, it makes it more fun to want to parent them by their design, because you're just creating an environment for them to thrive in. Yeah.
Yeah. You're ultimately going on this healing process. And I don't know if you've heard this, but there's this saying that when you heal yourself, you heal seven generations ahead of you and also seven generations behind you. So it goes both ways. So your kids really feel your own healing and your own awakening.
Yeah, and I feel like I'm at that point where I'm healing so much of the like past generation stuff and the future things, because I see like the challenges, for example, that my parents go through, that my grandparents went through, and like it took them years, and they're still maybe in that dynamic. And I'm in my like, well, at the time I was like in my late 20s, early 30s now, and like I'm like, yeah, I've healed that, moved on. And it's interesting to see, because it's opened up me healing certain things has opened up a whole new world for them. They're like, oh, I've been stuck and like suffering with this for 40 years, and she's already like healed it. And it opens up the door for them to like release it as well. And then I can see how obviously I'm healing it for my daughter and then the generations to come after that, which is really cool.
Yeah, so profound, so impactful.
Yeah, it is. Okay, let's shift into balancing like motherhood and being an entrepreneur. So even if you're not an entrepreneur, most moms are, they work outside of the home either for themselves or for somebody else. So how do you balance that like work life motherhood journey?
Yeah, and I think the one thing I would love to talk about too is that like the evolution that it has been. So where I am is so vastly different from where I was when I first was really building my business and had really, really young kids. And there's so much that I've had to break free from and decondition from so that I can be in a position now where I'm really thriving and have manifested this life that I once had never even allowed myself to dream of. And so I kind of, my business, like I said, was birthed when I had my daughter and she's seven. But then it was really, I was going to a corporate job and trying to build my business on the side. And I was trying to juggle both. And then I got pregnant with my son, was let go from that job while I was pregnant. And then that really sent me into this place of like, okay, I don't want to go back to a corporate job. I want to go all in with what I'm actually here to do, what my purpose really, really is. And I was in this position where all of a sudden I was a stay-at-home mom, and it was not planned. It just came to be. So I was like, oh my gosh, I'm growing this business and I have two young kids at home and I don't have time for myself and like what's going on? And it was like the burnout. Resentment, anxiety, overwhelm, all of the things. And I was so hard on myself. And it was in 2017 was when I was pregnant. I had my son in 2018. And in around that time is when I discovered human design. So that was huge for me. And I had heard about human design, but I was like, yeah, that's cool. Like I've done all the tests. I've learned about myself. I know like my astrology, like it's cool information, but what is it really going to do? It's just cool to know. But had come to a point when I realized that there might be something here. Like, what if I actually integrated this information and did something with it? So, learning that I was a projector was massive. Learning that I had an open emotion, open solar plexus. My emotional center was huge. Having emotional release practices was so impactful. And even just like the mindset of, wait, I don't have to be a martyr in my life anymore. I don't have to prioritize everybody else's needs, especially as a projector. It's like when you're thriving, when you're lighting your own light, you're such a lighthouse. You have so much to give when you're fueling yourself and really taking care of yourself. So, the balance between like entrepreneurship and motherhood, I realized it didn't have to be this like separate thing that I could take care of myself in all ways. I could involve my kids. I could really communicate what my needs were and ask for time if I needed it. And that just made things so much easier because I was detaching from the belief that it had to be a struggle, or that I had to do it alone, or that I had to wait till the kids were in bed, and then I was too tired, and then I couldn't do it. And then why am I not consistent? Am I not cut out for this? Am I lazy? It was so easy for me to go down those rabbit holes of limiting beliefs, but then really like catching it and then consciously choosing something different was so impactful for how I could really like quote unquote balance it all.
Yeah, I agree. You said a few really interesting things there. And I had a conversation with a friend of mine yesterday, and it was about that. It was that evolution as like as our kids get older, their needs are different, and the way that we balance work and life and like our work and parenting is completely different, right? So it is, I agree with that. Like it's not like, oh, this is the way that it needs to be for me, and this is the way it's going to be forever. It's really being able to give yourself permission that it is an evolution. And as your family's needs change, as your needs change, you can ask for that and just roll with it, right? And then the other thing that you said that I wanted to expand on a little bit was asking for the support that you need. So there's a lot of dynamics there. And for me, I realized as I was, looking at doing inner child healing and all that stuff is like that I grew up taking care of other people all the time, right? So there's things that you can connect. Okay, so if I'm taking care of other people, that's how I receive love or whatever other story that you've attached to it. And then most likely you're going to attract someone in your partnership and your relationship that likes to be taken care of. At least it was the case for me and for many people that are like, yep, this was me. I was always taking care of people from a very, very young age, like the second mom. And then, like, now my partner just expects me to do everything. So it's interesting because when we grow, it doesn't need to break up a relationship. I mean, it might if that's what's best for everyone. But it definitely like challenges the dynamic of your relationship. At least it did for me. I don't know if it did for you, but it's like, okay, once I started being like, yeah, I can do it all, but I don't want to do it all. Like, I want support from you in these and these in this area, right? And so it's really like giving them the opportunity to grow as well, being like, yeah, you know what? I can take care of other people as well. Like, I don't need to always be the one that others take care of. Do you know what I mean? Like, does that. Is that something in your journey that you found when you started to ask for support?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I kind of took on that role of like, I need to do all of the things. I need to be the great wife and the good mother and the good business owner and like do all of these things. And I felt like I was drowning. At the very least, I felt like I would be doing so well in a couple of areas and then feeling miserably in another area. And then I'd have so much guilt and so much shame and all of this wrapped up. And what I really realized in my own relationship is that it wasn't me communicating my own needs, wasn't like, well, I need this and I need this and I need this. It was like, if we are in a divine union together and this is our sacred contract and we get to come together from a place of like total love and thrive in who we're meant to be, who am I in my divine feminine and who are you in your divine masculine? And the divine masculine is incredibly nurturing and really loves to take care of the feminine. So I had to stop controlling the situation of like, well, this is how I need things to be done and I want things to look like this, but really fall back and to be like, I am in full receivership of the love that you can give to me in all of the ways that you can take care of me and lead me. So that was actually really empowering for my husband, right? Because I was like, I wasn't emasculating him. I was empowering him to really lead the way. And it made our relationship just deepen and it completely changed everything.
Yeah, and there's so many aspects to this where there's like you, like a lot of females, moms, they feel like they need to do it all. Some of them maybe grew up, doing it all or being the second mom or having the example that the mom does it all. And then like the guys, like the male, the masculine role, yes, they thrive when they are able to support us and to provide for us, right? But a lot of the time they also, I mean, it's the path of least resistance. If we're gonna like, if we don't have to do something or if we can do something in a really easy way, obviously we're gonna save energy and do that, right? So if someone else is offering to do it, but again, it does impact your romantic relationship when you don't have that that perfect union, or not maybe not perfect, but that, you know, union of like letting the masculine energy shine and, you know, letting the feminine energy shine in both partners as well. So yeah, it's a really important thing, and it's deeper, I think, than most people think. But when you start to like shed light on it, it definitely will deepen your relationship, unless it goes the other way.
Right.
But yeah.
And sometimes that can happen, but it definitely requires and takes a lot of conscious communication. And within that, to not get in those scenarios where you're like blaming each other, or you're making somebody wrong, because then it's like there's so much defensiveness, and that's not productive conversation, and that's not productive for your relationship ultimately. Because at the end of the day, it's about having both of your needs met, and that's where both people get to thrive. This isn't just like, oh, because you're a mom and you can communicate your needs, then like all your needs get met. Like it goes both ways. Yeah. And I know, like, even for me, I wanted to show up in a powerful way in my business. And I realized that in my business, there is a lot of feminine flow, but there is a lot of masculine, because I'm really supporting people and I'm holding space for people and I'm showing up for people in that way. And there's so much there. So it's hard for me to be in my masculine and my business for so much of the day, and then continue to be in the masculine in other areas in my life. And then all of a sudden at the end of the day, be like, oh yeah, intimacy, what's that? Like, I'm not in that flow. And if I'm going to be, you know, more in that energy of like intimacy, for me, that's the feminine, that's where I receive. So how can I weave that in other parts of the relationship? So I'm like, ugh, like, I feel so supported. I can be vulnerable with you. I can receive. Whereas if I'm constantly running in my masculine, I'm not thinking about sex. I'm thinking like, well, I got to get the kids' lunches packed, and are there clothes out, and is this happening? And is this like, I'm going through my to-do list. I'm not thinking about anything else.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. It's very well said. And it's like, it's the, I guess if you can keep that feminine energy in your relationship dynamic throughout the day, and you feel supported. I say this all the time, like, yeah, it's way easier to, you know, number one, you're not as tired, you know, as projectors, especially, and number one, we're not as tired. And then number two, like, yeah, it's open that door. You feel supported. You've been receiving all day. You're ready to continue in this dance. And yeah, it's a very important part of all aspects of our lives, but definitely for intimacy purposes as well.
Yeah.
Let's talk about intentional parenting, or like intentional conscious. I think those two words are interchangeable. Like, but what does intentional parenting, what does it mean to you?
Yeah. And I think that there's definitely a lot of areas where we've touched on this already in just like knowing your kid's human design, or even your partner's human design, is that you can be more intentional with how you interact with them and really understand them in a different way. So I think where so much conflict in relationships happen, in relationships, whether that's, you know, with your spouse or with your kids, it's coming from a place of you wanting to control the situation, or you do something a certain way, so then you're projecting out that needs to be done that certain way. And then there's so much resistance, or that's where like blame can happen, or it's like, why aren't they doing this the right way? That's not the way that I would do things. And you're making yourself right, and you're making the other person wrong. But when you can be intentional about the interactions that you have in your relationship, in really honoring and seeing somebody, then like, you don't have to control. It just makes your life so much easier, because you don't have to control things. And then you can be intentional with how you show up in your own life, because you don't have all this energy going out from like, well, I have to control this, and this person's messing up over here, so I should probably just take control. I should pack the backpacks, not let my husband do it, because I do it better. Like, you don't run into those kind of scenarios. You can actually focus on like, if I'm intentionally living, then where is my energy being directed?
Yeah. And I mean, there's so many ways we could go here, but I mean, you explained it beautifully for what it means for you. And I think that's like really important for like all of us to look at our lives and say, okay, what does it mean for us? But detachment, which you talked about a lot, is such an important part of it. It's like this thing, like you can't change the other. You can only like, you. It's like what we have, like what, four choices. You can change the other. You can accept them. You can leave, or you can change yourself, right? Well, for the most part, like we can't leave our kids, and trying to change them, I think, is what we've been brought up, you know, raised for most of us, is like our parents, they don't like what we do and they try to change our behavior. They give us timeouts. They give us this to change our behavior. But at the end of the day, it just causes so much suffering for the parent themselves and for the child, right? Exactly. Yeah. And then, so the more that we can detach in like a healthy way, I remember when I started my relationship with my current partner, we've been together for about 3 years, and he went away on a trip. And I was like kind of at the beginning-ish of our relationship. We'd been together for like 5 months or something like that. And I loved it because I was like, oh, like, I feel like I needed this to like detach from you. Like, I love you now more than ever, but I really needed this to know that like, I don't need to be like super attached to you and to all the outcomes that we have in our conversations and our day-to-day lives and all these things, right? So like the detachment piece can apply to everything, to business, to parenting, to other relationships, but it's an important one. So, I mean, we could talk about this more, but I like encourage the listeners to like see how much control you feel like you need to have over every situation in parenting, and what would it look like if you didn't have that control, you know?
Yeah. And like noticing when that tendency comes through for like, wait, I'm trying to control the situation. Like, why? Yeah. What, like, what is so uncomfortable about, like, it's not even losing control, but just like stepping back and like leaning into surrender, leaning into detachment. Like, what feels so uncomfortable around that? Because yeah, I mean, and I think that a lot of what is wrapped up in like really wanting to control things is like a trauma response and us feeling unsafe. So this again is like leading back to your own healing journey. How can you cultivate safety from within so that you don't project all of your like feelings and crap onto your kids or onto your partner or whatever? Like, how can you take radical self-responsibility for what's going on in your internal world?
Yeah. And safety from within, which is important, because like for me, like intentional parenting, it starts with us. Like, it's like, yeah, as simple as like, let's say your child spills something and you're like, oh my God. And they're like, okay, I'll clean it up or whatever the situation is. Maybe you ask them to clean it up, but you're like hovering over them and you're like, he's not doing it right. Like, they're not cleaning it properly. They're not doing it the way that I would have them to do it. Like, let your child learn from their mistakes. But it's so hard for us to do that, right? And like, I laugh like every time, you know, I get in the car or somebody else gets in the car and I'm driving and they're like giving me directions. It's like, okay, can you let go of the control right now? Like, I know where I'm going, you know? So it's like, there's different, it's definitely like a safety thing. It's a massive safety thing and definitely a trauma response. So it's like really starting to ask ourselves, like, why am I triggered by this? Why do I feel like I need to control this situation? Is definitely a great place to start. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which kind of falls into limiting beliefs a little bit. I guess not really, but it's a good segue into it. So what are some limiting beliefs that you'd like to talk about, to bring up when it comes to moms and, you know, being a mom and being an entrepreneur?
Yeah, I think it's also really important to know that like the way that we do one thing is the way that we do everything, and everything is really just a mirror. So whether it's like motherhood and your relationship, whether it's your relationships and your business and motherhood, like all of these things are so divinely connected. Even, you know, I had a conversation with somebody recently who they really wanted to work on their money mindset. And what their focus wasn't necessarily on their relationship. It was more on their money mindset. But the reality is both of those things are so connected, because at the core of it is your ability to receive. So can you receive money? Can you receive in your relationship? It's so, so, so connected. So noticing where your limiting beliefs come up and then how they play out in all these different areas in your life. So are you buying into the limiting belief that motherhood has to be a struggle and it has to be isolating? You have to do it alone, that you don't have help, because that's going to go into your business, that you have to do it alone. You don't have help. You're not supported. You can't receive in that way. Do you have the belief that you can't have it all, that you can't be there for all of the moments that you desire and want with your children and have a thriving business? Like, is it always that it's an unbalanced equation? And really, yeah, it's like starting to become the observer of your thoughts in the same way where, whether it's control or whether it's your limiting beliefs, and stepping back and being like, wait, why do I feel like I have to control the outcome? Why do I have to rush the process of cleaning up a spilled juice on the floor? Like, why do I think that I can't thrive, or it's hard for me to thrive, or et cetera, et cetera, et cetera? Like, you can just go down a million different rabbit holes, right?
And I think that, like, what keeps coming to my mind the last little bit of our conversation is just like the quality of your life is based on the quality of the questions you ask yourself. Like, you can keep living as a zombie essentially and just doing what comes naturally and unconsciously to you. Or if you desire something different, you can start to ask, like, why? Why am I doing this? Why am I doing that? Like, what benefit am I gaining from continuing to do this? And what are the drawbacks here? And then just like, I don't know, like, get the support that you need to move through all that, right? I think you and I have both worked with coaches ourselves for, I know for me, it's been quite a long time, like many years that I've been working with coaches. And it's just some of the most beneficial work that you can ever do, because I don't know, it just creates, it opens up the door for you to create the life of that you desire to, not the life that you were like stuck into by the conditioning that you received like growing up, really.
Yeah. And especially when you go into a relationship, like if you're investing in mentorship or in a coach, and really, again, becoming the observer of your thoughts, like, why are you making this investment? Are you making it from an empowered place, or do you believe that they have something you don't? Do you think that they have a secret that you don't have, that you don't have access to, and that ultimately you're looking for their validation or their approval or their friendship or like whatever it is? Or is it coming from a place of you win no matter what decision you make? Like, you get the results whether you're with that coach or not. You get the results just because you get the results. And I think that so along this journey of parenthood, in your relationships, in all of these different areas that we're talking about, the core of what we've all kind of forgotten along the way is how powerful we are. Like, we are incredibly powerful creators of our life. And at any given moment, we can choose a different path. We can choose a different thought. We can choose a different point of action, and you can decide what you want your experience to be. And knowing that, like, you challenging your limiting beliefs as like small, like, it feels like such a cliche thing to talk about, like, oh, well, let's talk about your limiting beliefs and like, oh, this, and just choose something different. But actually having that conscious intention and really working to rewire your brain is so impactful, even though it just sounds so like, oh, your limiting beliefs, like, everyone talks about it, but are you actually integrating it? Like, really identifying, like, what are the power dynamics in my relationship? Well, are you going to really look at that and unpack that and integrate something different by asking yourself that question of like, what do I want my relationships to look like? What do I want my reality to look like? Knowing that you are a powerful creator and you can do whatever the fuck you want. But like, but we forget that. And we just kind of, like you said, like you would reference something about just like being the zombie. Like, yeah, you can be the zombie and you can just go in like the motion of where life is like pushing and pulling you and whatever, or you can decide that you're going to take control and you can literally create whatever it is that you want to create.
And I think when you were saying all this, like what came to me is like, so why do people like, yes, we hold the power 150%, but like, why don't we do it? And like uncomfortable came to me, right? Like we don't do it often because it's uncomfortable. It's uncomfortable to sit down and think, okay, why did I just react to my child right now? Or why do I need to control the way that they wipe this spilled milk all over the floor or whatever, right? Like it's uncomfortable to do that. And I think one of the benefits that I've personally experienced anyways from like having a coach is like it gives you that accountability. You can't hide. You're sitting there on the call. They're asking you those uncomfortable questions. You know, you made the commitment to it. You're not going to sit there and be like, oh no, I'll do it next week because I really don't feel like doing it today. So it like almost like allows you to accelerate your growth. Although you already are holding that power within you, like knowing that you're holding that power. And then knowing that by doing that, you're just going to like speed up the process of, you know, getting the life, living the life that you desire to live.
Right. Yeah. You're like going into a container with somebody where you're like, this is my conscious intention. And I'm choosing to have intentionality around this thing. And when you have intentionality around something, like you're going to go somewhere with it. But I think it's like the combination of accountability and perspective. Just sometimes when you're so close to something in your life, it's hard to see that higher perspective. Whereas if you have someone who's really skilled in holding space and seeing you deeply, then they can really shine a light on a different perspective that can just like shift everything.
Yeah, 100%. The perspective is huge. Like, yeah, because we are stuck in our heads and yeah, we can say, track your thoughts, do this, do that. But like it's easier said than done, you know, especially like at the beginning. So having someone to guide you through for a bunch of different aspects is really powerful for that. Well, today was awesome. I loved our conversation and I think our audience will get lots out of this. Do you have any closing words that you'd like to leave us with today?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like our conversation went into so many juicy places, but I think, yeah, just ending the conversation and letting whoever is listening know that they hold the power, that they have this untapped, we all have this untapped potential that lives inside of us and we've just scratched the surface of it. And I think that sometimes there can be so much weight on seeing what that is. And I think that it's just like, how would it feel to lift the weight and to just tap into the energy and the frequency of curiosity and go down the path of, well, what if I discovered what my potential is? The potential of my relationships with my kids, with my spouse, with myself, with what I'm here to do in the world. And I think that that's a really exciting place to be because it just feels like a lot of possibility.
Yeah. And then tapping into your intuition, your inner knowing to be like, okay, what's that next step that I need to take to access all those things, right, that you just mentioned. I had a conversation with a coaching client this morning and it was about that. It's like, okay, I feel stuck. Like, what do I do? It's like, well, what do you intuitively, where do you want to start? Like, you've got to take action, right? And it's like, okay, well, maybe like, you know, it's like, well, I feel like I need to meditate. I feel like I need to do this and that and this. It's like, it's all so overwhelming. It's like, okay, well, what if you start with like 1 minute of meditation every day? When that feels easy, move on to 2 minutes. You know what I mean? Like, we all think that it has to be this big thing, but like, what if we just try to get like 1% better every day? And then, you know, a year from now, 6 months from now, 3 months from now, it's like, oh, wow, there's actually things that are starting to shift in my life. And that's a really empowering place to start because you don't have to be perfect tomorrow. You just have to do something, maybe a little bit better than you did yesterday.
And you can also just like have less weight and let desire lead the way. Like, yeah. I feel like I need to do this and I need to do this. And it's like, what do you want? What do you desire? Yeah. Like, where are you putting so much weight on your life that doesn't even need to be there? So it's like, if meditation feels like juicy and amazing to you, then integrate meditation. Maybe it's dance. Maybe that feels exciting. But like, wherever desire is leading you, you can't be led in a wrong direction.
No, you never, never. Well, thank you so much for today.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate you so much.
If you desire guidance from me every week, make sure to subscribe to this podcast and also follow me on Instagram or TikTok. I want to leave you with this quote: great parenting happens when you start controlling yourself and stop controlling your child. Parenting is more about reparenting yourself as it is about parenting your child. This is a process. This is a journey, and I am here to guide you one connection at a time. Thank you.